Wow, what great plans God has for us. You may be seated. What an awesome lead into a message today about the unknown of the fact that plans for many graduates here today, maybe they have a plan in place. Well, as we all know, that plan, just because you have a plan doesn't really mean a lot, you know. It's good to have plans, and you should. You know, hope is not a plan. You can hope for the best, but you need a plan. But the reality is plans change. And I'm so thankful. I was standing right there listening as they were singing, as Shannon was reading Psalm 23. And all I could think about while she was reading that was when I was standing in Israel a couple of years ago outside of Jerusalem, right where David was when he wrote that psalm. If you've never been there, it's just this deep ravine here in this valley in the middle of these mountains, and you're in the desert, and you're standing there, and you're seeing that right at the very bottom of these two mountains is this little creek that's running along there, and there's life down there. In the middle of the desert, there's this little creek, and there's these trees and these plants and these things that are growing down there, and it was such an incredible picture. I remember being overcome with emotion as I'm thinking about the fact that what we're singing about, the fact that he has good plans, what we read in his word, these aren't just old stories. This is truth. This is God's word. And today, as we are thinking about a graduation day, you may say, well, this message doesn't apply to me because I'm not graduating. Well, the reality is this, is that we are all facing what I'm calling an unknown today. Every one of us are. Today's message is about knowing the unknown. Is it possible to know what the unknown is? In the mind of a graduate, they've got plans for tomorrow, but they don't know what it might look like. Maybe they're moving to a new location. They're going to a different place. They're moving out from home. Whatever the next page looks like, they've got plans, but they don't exactly know. Well, the reality is we all would be similarly in a position of an unknown. In the fact that maybe we are, or our kids are moving out of the home. Maybe you're the parent and your child is leaving, and maybe you don't know what that unknown looks like. And maybe you're about to have a child and you don't know what that unknown is going to look like, bringing a new child into your home. I can tell you this, there's going to be a lot of sleepless nights, you know. The reality is we're all at times in life facing a future that we don't know what it looks like. And so as I was thinking about and praying about how do we get a grasp on the unknown, a scripture came to mind. If you have a Bible, please turn with me to Acts chapter 17. You see, Paul was in the best place on planet Earth. He was in Athens. Greece, not Georgia, close enough, right? But he was in Athens, Greece. And as he was going on his missionary journeys, he went into a synagogue, a place where there were many religious people. And they were gathered worshiping many different things. And as Paul is journeying in here to talk to the religious leaders and the people that were seeking something, what he was doing was he was stepping into a situation where people were dealing with the unknown. They had made as many plans as they could, and they were trying to cover as many bases as they could, but yet there was still an unknown factor that they needed to deal with. And what I want to talk about today, specifically to the graduates, but it applies to really everybody who has something on the horizon that they may not sure what it looks like, is the fact that while you may not know what tomorrow looks like, you do know the one who holds tomorrow, and that's the Lord. And that the closer we are to him, the closer we are to Christ, the more confident we can be that tomorrow is going to be okay. We've got a man in our church that was diagnosed just recently with stage 4 cancer head to toe in his body. And I talked with him last week. And this man, while I would be so nervous and afraid and scared, not knowing what the future looks like for me, this man, as I was talking with him, had such great confidence because while his physical condition may be unknown, he told me that he knows the Lord and that his future is absolutely known because of God. And so the reality is this morning, church, we need to know the unknown. And as we read this scripture together this morning in Acts chapter 17, I think we're going to learn a few things today that we can apply to our lives that are going to help us know what an unknown future might look like. The first thing we're going to notice as we read here, and starting in verse 22, is that to know the unknown, we first must know Christ. How are we going to know what the unknown is without knowing him? Here's what happened in verse 22 of Acts 17. It says, so Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, this was the synagogue where they were meeting, said, men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found an altar with the inscription, to the unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, I am proclaiming to you, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything. For since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. Here's Paul walking into this temple, and as he goes in, he sees a people that were trying to cover all the unknown bases in their life. How were they doing this? They had set up idols to every possible god that they could imagine. Why? Because they wanted the blessings of life. They wanted to have a prosperous life and a positive life and a life of good fortune and well-being. And so what they did was they said, okay, we're not sure who God is or what God is, but we're going to try to cover every base. So we're putting up every idol we can imagine to all the gods we know of, and we're going to hope that by putting up these idols and quote-unquote worshiping all these gods, maybe we'll worship the right one and the right one will bless us. Paul walks in and says, you are very religious. Let me ask you a question. If Paul walked in our church this morning, or more importantly, if he walked into your home today, would he notice that you were very religious? Just think about that for a minute. Would Paul notice that we were very religious? Well, you would hope, he saw me in church this morning, so yeah, that's got to count for something, right? I think that if he walked in, he would notice that in our world. What if he walked into the United States of America today? What if he walked into Florida today? What if he walked into this community today? Would he notice that people are religious? You know what I think? I think he would absolutely say we are religious people. In fact, I think that Paul would say everybody he would encounter in the entire state of Florida was religious. You say, how? Most people aren't going to church. They're not living for the Lord. They're not doing well. We're very religious about some things. Are we not religious about our football? Are we not religious about our sports? And are we not religious about our kids? Are we not religious about our TV shows and our programs and everything that we do? Certainly we are. He would find people that would go day after day, week after week, and do the same things going through rituals while doing them. Sounds exactly like football season to me. He would find that we are absolutely a religious people. And he would walk into our lives, maybe even our church, and say, I've noticed y'all are a very religious people. But then he would say, I've noticed that you're missing the most important thing. And so what Paul did as he walked in that day, he said, let me tell you, they were so concerned about what the unknown looked like, they had even put up an idol in the middle of the synagogue that said to the unknown God. Just in case they missed one, they didn't want that one to get mad, right? So they were trying to cover every base that they have. Paul walks in and says, what you don't know about, let me tell you about. He says, I can tell you what the unknown is. And he proceeds to tell them about the death and the resurrection of Jesus. You see, Jesus Christ is the only thing in our life that doesn't change. This is why we, in a life of an unknown future, maybe you are graduating and you don't know what the future looks like. Well, I can tell you this. In a life of an unknown future, you want as much familiarity and as much consistency as you can get. And hear me, church, there is nothing that is more consistent, more stable, more faithful than having the Lord a part of your life? The Bible says it like this: Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if the Lord is always with us, he's always beside us, and he's never changing, we must have him a part of our life. While we may not know what tomorrow looks like, we can know and we should know who holds tomorrow, and that's Jesus. We live in a changing life. Maybe your life is changing right now. Maybe there's other unknown factors in your life. Those unknowns should push us more and more and more to the one that doesn't change, to the one that can help us move from one changing phase of life to another. He's the only thing that doesn't change, and praise God for it. I mean, think about how many thousands of years. You say, well, how do we know this is true? Because it stands the test of time. I mean, think about it. How many years ago was this book written? It's the oldest book. You know, it's the book that has truly withstood the test of time, and it hasn't changed. People have tried to change it. People have tried to say that Jesus did things that he didn't do. But the reality is, thank God that this book has been protected for all of these years, and we can know what God says. And here's the thing, what he said then is what he's saying now. His word always stands. We can count on it. In a world of unknown, we must know Christ. It has to start there. I wouldn't want to send my kids out of my home without knowing who the Lord is. I wouldn't want to leave my home myself without knowing who the Lord is. Why? Because only he is the one who doesn't change. To know the unknown, we must know Christ. But Paul continues. The second thing we see is that to know the unknown, we must know our course. So not only should we know Christ, but secondly, we've got to know our course. Here's what he says in verse 26. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not that far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and the imagination of man. For the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. Because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. You see, the next thing that Paul tells the people is that in order to face an unknown future, you've got to know who Christ is, but secondly, you've got to know what your course is. He starts out by telling them, look, God has ordained where people are going to live. The places and the times of which they're living in. In other words, it is no mistake that you were born when you were born, that you lived where you live, and that you are here today. These aren't just random, haphazard things that are, just randomly occurring in life. God has a hand on everything, more of the reason why we can trust him in the unknown. Because he's not far from any of us. He says that he is close to us and he wants us seeking him through it. So what course are you on in life? If he is with us and he's even helping to determine our steps, I pray that he is. I would think that in the best way to face an unknown future would be to make God a part of my path. I mean, the Bible tells us in Psalms that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We need him in our life to help direct the course that we're on. The question is God a part of the course that you're on today? Is he a part of the course that your life is traveling on? If you're going to school, if you're moving on to a new adventure in life, if you've got plans and you may not know how they're going to end, are you incorporating the Lord Jesus in what you're doing today? You know, I want to talk about something just for a minute. And it's an idea that is really a misnomer. Since this is graduation Sunday, can I give you one final pop quiz. Can I give you one more pop quiz? I mean, you thought you were done, you graduated. Well, here comes one more. Here's the question. Here's the pop quiz. Is the following statement in the Bible? Okay, you ready? We got a bunch of biblical scholars out here. Is the following statement in the Bible? We are to be in the world, but not of the world. The answer is no. That phrase is not in the Bible. It's a principle that I understand, but that specific phrase, to be in the world and not of the world, is not in the Bible. And let me share with you exactly, and I have a point of why I'm bringing this up, but let me share with you where this is coming from, okay? This is coming from John chapter 17, verse 18. And in John chapter 17, what you see is Jesus is giving a prayer for his people. He's praying for his followers and his and the people that he loves. And in this prayer, he makes this statement in John 17, 18. He says this, as you have sent me into the world, he's praying to his Father for his people, okay? So he's praying to his Father, as you have sent me into the world, Heavenly Father, I have sent them into the world. That's where that idea comes from. Is that, yes, I get the idea of what's trying to be communicated by to be in the world, but not of the world. I get the idea. In other words, we're here in the world, but we don't want to get tied up in worldly things. I get it. But that phrase isn't in there. What it actually says is, you sent me into the world, I'm sending them into the world. And here's why I'm bringing this up today. There's a very particular reason I'm bringing this up. Because I'm afraid that in life, we think that our course, that the course of my life, what I need to be doing, if it almost feels like we don't think we're as spiritual or as godly as we should be because I'm not in church, or because I wasn't in my Bible, or because I went to the ball field instead, or because I went to the movies, or I went on the trip, I went on the vacation. And so what we have done is we have classified things as either secular or sacred. And we draw this distinction of, I'm either doing an action that is secular or I'm doing an action that is sacred. I mean, many of you are thinking, hey, I got my sacred in for the week. I'm at church, right? But that's not what Jesus says. Is that we are not to have this separatist mentality when it comes to the course that our life is on. Many people walk around thinking, well, the only sacred people are really like the pastors or the deacons. Or maybe the Sunday school teachers. But I'm not that because I don't do those things. And so as a result, my life doesn't match up with that. I want you to hear me clearly, especially for the graduates this morning. Look, as you're going in your course into a tomorrow that you may not understand what it looks like, here's what you need to do. Here's what we all need to do. We need to get over this idea that the secular and the sacred are mutually exclusive. And that instead, what we need to do is take the sacred, that's Jesus in us, directly into the secular wherever we go. Just as he said, you sent me into the world. We need to go directly into the world. The problem with churches is that they don't go into the world. They try to retreat into their church center, do their God thing, and then leave and divide and compartmentalize the two. That's not at all what Jesus did. He took heaven and brought it down and infiltrated it on earth. And I'm thanking God that he did that. Why? Because none of us would be here today if he didn't. He truly embodied what he said. As you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. You see, the best way that you can graduate this year or that you can face an unknown future is by saying, I don't necessarily know where my course is going to lead, but here's what I do know. I'm taking Jesus with me. That I'm going into a secular world, but I'm going to bring as much sacred with me as I possibly can. You see, we've got to break this mentality that the secular and the sacred are mutually exclusive and they should never cross paths. If that was true, Jesus would have never come to earth. Because it doesn't get any more secular than what we deal with on a daily basis, does it? You see, we are His messengers. The way that we face an unknown future is how? It's by establishing our course and taking Christ with us. It's why Paul told the people that God was going to be with them wherever they went, and they should seek Him on whatever course they were on. It's kind of like a parade. Do y'all go to parades? Do y'all do parades? Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Parades, okay? It's where you're sitting there and the float goes by and they throw candy to kids. You with me? When you're looking at the parade, you're watching one float at a time, right? So the course for you is this, you know, this is the way we view our life, one day at the time. It's one float at the time, and we don't see the full picture. But let me tell you why we need Christ in our life and a part of our course. Because He's not seeing it from the street view like we are. He's in the helicopter looking down from above. That He sees the beginning and the end. And He sees every day in the middle. He knows what our course is going to look like. And so since I can't see it from His perspective, here's how I choose to walk by faith and not by sight. Is I trust the one that can see from a higher vantage point down on where it's going. So often in life, we want the answers. We want to know what the finish line looks like. We want to know where we're going and how it's going to end up. But if that was the case, then God would have told us those things. What He cares much more about is He wants to be a part of us every day in everything we face. So if raising kids is an unknown, that's a course of life that's an unknown, then we need Him a part of that. Or if graduating high school and going off to college is an unknown, we need Him a part of that. Or if going and starting a new job is an unknown, we need Him a part of that. He sees the big picture. We need to make sure that as we have Christ in our life and as we are on the course of not separating from the world, but going into the world with Christ so we can make an impact, that He's a part of it. And Paul gives the people one last thought here. As He is teaching them, these people in this place who they're trying to worship all the gods, including the unknown God, He tells them that they must have Christ, they must know their course. And one last thing He says, to know the unknown, you must make a choice. You must make a choice. You're never going to know the unknown without an intentional choice on your part. And here's what He says in verse 32. Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, remember, He had just taught them back of in verses 30 and 31 that they had to repent because we would all be judged. That's what He had just told them. So then in verse 32, He says, now when they heard this resurrection of the dead, which let's be honest, sounds like a far-fetched idea, right? They are very fresh here. You know, we've got 2,000 years of hearing about Jesus rose from the dead, Jesus rose from the dead, Jesus rose from the dead. We've heard that our whole life. And so it's a familiar idea to us. Is that a familiar idea to these people? No. In fact, the reason Paul is in Athens, Greece, is to tell them that Jesus had rose from the dead. They probably hadn't even heard that yet, right? So He's saying, now when they heard that there was a resurrection of the dead, notice the three responses of the people. First, some mocked. Others said, we will hear about this again. They delayed. So Paul went out in their midst, but some joined. They believed and followed. They joined, and then he lists a couple of people who went with him. You see, this is what happened as Paul was teaching the people, okay, you need Christ in your life. You need a course where Christ is with you in your life. Now you need to make sure that as you go in life toward an unknown future, that you have made the choice to have Christ a part of what you're doing in your life. In the reactions of the people to the resurrection of the dead that day, I would say are still very similar to the reactions of people today. Some mock or don't believe. Some delay and say, I'll get to that later, or let me hear more, or I need more proof, or when I get my life right, when I get things cleaned up, when it's more convenient, those delays are literally just excuses. And then some believed and followed. You see, the only way we're going to face an unknown in our life is to make a choice today. And the longer we put off making that choice, the bigger unknown becomes, right? That unknown just gets bigger and bigger and harder to accept the more we put it off. It is why the statistics show that the vast majority of people who accept Jesus as Lord and believe in the resurrection of the dead are children. The vast number of people who accept Christ do it by the age of 18 years old. Most of the people, I think it's 90% of people who are believers today, accepted Christ prior to 18 years old. Just ask yourself that question. When did you accept Christ? Was it pre or post 18 years old? For 90% of people, it's before that. It's why, listen to me, church, it's why we have a strong children and youth program here. It's why we pour a lot of resources, a lot of our financial budget goes to our children and our youth programs here. It's why we are positioning up our church, which I'll be sharing more about here in a few moments, but it's why we're positioning our church to really make an even bigger investment into those age groups, really for two reasons. One is because we know that most people who do accept Christ are going to do it by the age of 18. And secondly, we know that when kids and young people get on fire for the Lord, their parents have to respond to that in some way. And it's awesome to see when those parents themselves come to Christ and start being a part of our church. You see, the reality is this, is that we all must make a choice. Have you made your choice? What category are you in today? Everyone in this room is in one of these three categories. You're in the category of mocking. Maybe you're only here because someone forced you to come. You don't care about God and you don't want to do it. Maybe you're here just to keep peace in your marriage or for whatever reason. But to you, the idea of God is just a joke. Maybe you delay. Maybe you're just delaying and you're waiting until the time is better. Listen, it's sad that to face an unknown future, why would you want to delay on something that could help you legitimately with that future? And then thirdly, have you believed? Have you accepted Christ and have you decided to follow him? You see, that is what he talks about. And Paul says back in verse 31, he introduces this idea of repenting. You see, this is an idea, a concept that's not popular in our world. We don't want to repent. We don't need to turn from anything. We're not doing anything wrong. Well, you see, the reality of it is this. How in the world am I going to face an unknown future with a God who has a plan and a course for my life and he's wanting me to make a choice if I try to keep the old life of who I was before I knew him? We need to be people that understand that God has a plan for us, that he loves us, and make the choice today that we're going to follow Jesus. We're not mocking anymore. We're not delaying anymore. Why? Because this is the most important choice we'll make. I can promise you this, that if you made the choice to follow Jesus today, it's going to change your unknown tomorrow. Guaranteed. Why? Because when you make Jesus a part of your life today, your unknown becomes a little more clear. Because now you know how to think. Now you know how to live. Now you know how to respond. Now you know whether you should cheat on your taxes anymore. Now you know whether you should cheat on the test. Now you know what kind of language you should start using. Now you know what thoughts need to leave your head and what thoughts need to start coming into your head. You don't know all this overnight, but you're starting a journey of learning these things. And the closer you draw to Christ, the more clear your unknown becomes, because he starts shaping you and molding you and living with you to help you see how he wants you to live each and every day. That's what understanding an unknown future really looks like. I want to close with this thought, and it's that on a day like today when we're talking about graduation, a lot of times we think we're in the mindset of I've had my spiritual graduation. How does a spiritual graduation tie into this? Well, I close with this thought, that a spiritual graduation, it isn't the day that you accept Christ. Make that choice to stop doubting, stop delaying, and start believing. No, that's not a spiritual graduation. That's a spiritual commencement. You're just getting started. Here's the point that I want to make, is that so often in life we think, well, I made it to church. I've spiritually graduated for this week. You know, I've got this week done. Or I went on the mission trip, so I've spiritually graduated now for at least a year, you know. Or I've accomplished this. Let me make it really clear. When is our spiritual graduation? Is it any day that we're ever going to live here? Or is it the day that the Lord calls us home to His presence? That's our spiritual graduation. It's the day when we are standing before the Lord and He looks at us and He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's our spiritual graduation day. And so since we're here, we always are looking and leaning into what tomorrow might look like. Why? Because we've made the decision that Christ is going to be a part of our unknown. We've made the decision that our course is going to bring honor and glory to Him. And we've made the choice that we're not delaying or doubting any longer, but Christ is going to be a part of our lives. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, what an incredible scripture. As Paul walked into that place and he said, "Let me tell you about the unknown God." Lord, the problem that we face, the problem that I face, Lord, is that I know who you are. It's just sometimes I push you out. And the truth is, God, that's actually worse. Father, today, we say no more. We're not doubting anymore. We're not delaying anymore. We are determining in our hearts and our minds today, Lord, that the best way we can approach an unknown future is by serving and surrendering to a known God. Thank you for making yourself known to us today. Jesus is the expression of God to us. Thank you for making yourself known. Father, maybe someone here this morning would say, "You know, I've done a lot of doubting. I just don't know if I can believe that it's all true." Lord, my encouragement to that person today is, doesn't everything require faith? And isn't it easier to put your faith in the thing that at least knows what the end looks like? Father, maybe that person is in here today and they've just spent a lot of their time delaying. They believe the stories, but there's just a delay in either accepting Christ or maybe walking in the course that He has for their life. Father, I pray today, right this very moment, that the person that wants to make that decision, they are determined to make Jesus a part of their life today. Maybe that graduate here, whoever it may be, just to say, "Father, I do want to repent, turn from my sin, because I recognize that my righteousness is not enough. And I want you to help direct my steps. Father, I'm trusting you with my unknown because you see the end from the beginning." Father, thank you for making yourself known to us, and help us to trust you with every unknown that we face in life.